Section 5. The Nebraska Sales Tax. Background. Sales taxes are transactional excise taxes, which are imposed upon the sale of property subject to tax. 45 states impose sales taxes, and the tax accounts for more than a third of the revenues generated by the states. Only Alaska, Delaware, Montana, New Hampshire, and Oregon do not impose a sales tax. Sales taxes were first imposed in the 1930s, during the Depression, and appear to be widely accepted by taxpayers, despite the regressive nature of the tax. In an Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations opinion study, in 1993, it was found that the public viewed taxes on consumption as the most acceptable form of taxation. Nebraska's sales tax was enacted in 1967, making Nebraska one of the last states to enact the tax. The Nebraska sales tax is levied on the retail sales of tangible personal property and some specifically listed services. By its definition, it does not apply to sales for resale, sales of intangible property, real estate, or most services. One of the features of the tax is that sales of tangible personal property are subject to tax unless specifically exempted, while sales of services are not subject to tax unless specifically included. Like most other states, Nebraska also imposes a complementary use tax which is imposed on goods bought outside the state and used in Nebraska. If a sales tax was paid on such goods, then a credit is given in Nebraska. If sales tax was not collected in another state, then use tax is due in Nebraska. Unlike the sales tax, the use tax is remitted by the purchaser. Most businesses utilize direct pay permits to remit their use taxes. However, many internet purchases are made by individuals who do not pay a use tax. Thus, the issue of internet sales and use taxes is becoming increasingly important to the states. Commission findings. States impose sales and use taxes at rates ranging from 2.9% in Colorado to 7% in Mississippi, Rhode Island, and Tennessee. Exhibit 5.1 shows the sales tax rate for every state. Nebraska's sales tax began in 1967 at a rate of 2.5%. It has risen over the years to the current rate of 5.5%. Like many other states, Nebraska allows a local option sales tax of up to 1.5%, meaning that the total combined sales tax rate can be as high as 7.0%. Exhibit 5.2 is a tax foundation study which shows that the Nebraska state sales tax results in a tax of approximately $797 per year per capita, ranking Nebraska as the 19th highest state in the nation. Moreover, when the impact of the local sales tax option is also considered, Nebraska collects $1,007 per capita, the 12th highest in the nation. The sales tax as a revenue source. Just as in the case of most states, the Nebraska sales tax generates a very significant amount of state revenue. In 2006, every 1% of the sales tax produced more than $250 million in state revenue. Compare this to the entire Nebraska corporate income tax, which generated only $262 million. Consequently, the sales tax rate, the sales tax exemptions provided, and the amount of intangible services taxed are all very powerful tools for increasing or decreasing state revenues. The impact of tax exemptions. Nebraska exempts many types of consumption from the sales tax, which is typical of most states. For a variety of reasons, barely half of all personal consumption is subject to sales tax by the states as a whole. Many exemptions are granted to reduce the regressive nature of the tax. For example, as shown in Exhibit 5.1, 32 states have either fully or partially exempted food for home consumption, and all 45 states which impose a sales tax exempt prescription medicine. According to a 2003 study, the percent of foods subject to the sales tax in the United States fell from 51% in 1990 to 43.3% in 2003. Exhibit 5.3 is a 2004 analysis which shows the breadth of the tax base for each state. Nebraska taxes 50.4% of its possible tax base. This is significantly above the median of the Plains states, which stands at 43.92%. The regressive nature of the sales tax is widely acknowledged. Low-income taxpayers pay a larger percentage of their income in sales taxes than the middle class, and the middle class pays more than the wealthy. For this reason, Citizens for Tax Justice called the sales tax the most unfair way for the states to raise revenue. Numerous studies support the conclusion that the sales tax is regressive in nature. For example, a 2003 Minnesota study found that those earning in the bottom 10% of income paid 5.2% of their income in sales taxes, while those in the top 10% paid only 1.3%. Consequently, many states have exempted from tax categories of sales for goods like food and medicine, which are deemed necessities. But the exemption of necessities does not generally reduce the regressivity of the tax. In most states, the exemptions apply to the middle and upper class, as well as the poor. Furthermore, since the wealthy spend more on such necessities, their tax savings from the exemptions are greater. Some studies have even concluded that the sales tax exemption for food has actually accentuated the regressive nature of the tax, as states giving the exemption are usually forced to raise rates on other items. Moreover, low-income families often utilize food stamps, which are already exempt from sales tax under federal law, and thus receive no additional benefit from a food tax exemption. This has led some commentators to suggest that it is time to re-examine the entire structure of sales tax exemptions and credits. In Sales Tax Exemptions and Credits, Time to Reevaluate, authors F. Derrick and C. Scott suggest two new approaches to target tax relief for the poor and away from the middle and upper classes. The first approach is to provide tax credits directly to the poor via a debit card system. The system is currently being developed for some income assistance programs and may soon be implemented nationwide. However, one administrative problem with a targeted credit system has been that the credits often do not reach those for which they were intended. In order to receive the credit, lower-income individuals must both be aware of the credit and properly file for a tax refund. New technology could potentially greatly reduce this administrative obstacle. Specifically, the use of debit cards would increase the probability that the poor receive the credit, and would simultaneously raise revenue, as the wealthy would be automatically excluded from the exemption. The second method under study is the concept of negative credit. Under the negative credit concept, a tax exemption is provided to all consumers for the purchases of necessities. The state then collects foregone tax revenue from middle and upper income taxpayers via the state income tax. In theory, a negative credit would require these individuals to pay an additional amount of tax on the income tax return equal to the sales tax they would have paid if the necessity items were not exempt. Six states, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Vermont, now use sales tax credits in conjunction with the state income tax. When the Nebraska sales tax was enacted in 1967, food was taxable, but all residents were entitled to an income tax credit which reflected the sales tax paid on basic food items. Those not paying sufficient income tax liabilities could file a simple return to obtain the credit. Interestingly, the system was similar to the credit system described above. The Syracuse study urged a return to the system, stating, "The credit system offered many advantages over a food exemption. The compliance tasks of vendors and administrative tasks were simplified, since it was not necessary to distinguish food and non-food expenditures. The endless problem of distinguishing food from meals, because food is exempt and meals are not, was avoided. If the goal is equity, a properly designed system is much less costly than a food exemption. It is only necessary to remove the burden of the tax on food from the lowest income groups, not from all persons. There is no logical reason why the families in the middle and upper income groups should not be required to pay tax on food consumption as well as other consumption items. The credit system as it operated did cause unnecessary loss of revenue, in that a uniform credit was provided for all persons, A credit that declined as family incomes rose would have been somewhat more complicated, but would have saved substantial revenue. In many respects, the elimination of the credit and the exemption of food in Nebraska is a mistake from the standpoint of the efficient operation of sales tax and revenue needs. It was difficult to reverse the decision made in 1983. Once food is exempted, making it taxable is difficult, politically, given the great political appeal of the food exemption. Only one state, North Carolina, made food taxable on a continuing basis after it was exempt, though it did so temporarily. But there is merit in considering return to taxation of food and utilization of a credit system. Sales tax holidays. Another recent phenomenon resulting from the perceived regressivity of the sales tax has been numerous state tax relief measures in the form of back-to-school sales tax holidays, which allow consumers to purchase specific products for very limited periods with no sales tax liability. Exhibit 5-4 is a 2007 listing of states which currently provide four tax holidays. The typical exemption is for clothing, books, school supplies, and computers. Nebraska has considered enacting a sales tax holiday, but has not done so. Several recent studies have concluded that sales tax holidays do not result in an increase in overall sales, but only in the timing of those sales. However, this may not hold true when consumers cross state lines to take advantage of such tax exemptions. Iowa, for instance, does provide four sales tax holidays, and with so much of the Nebraska population within an hour's drive of that state, Nebraska retailers may be losing potentially significant sales to their Iowa counterparts. Other sales tax exemptions. Sales tax exemptions are provided by the state for a variety of reasons, but generally fall under four general categories: reducing the tax burden on low-income taxpayers, providing tax relief to nonprofit, religious, and education entities, excluding from the tax business inputs, and sales for resale, so as to prevent the pyramiding of the tax, and providing economic incentives to remain competitive with other states. Exhibit 5-5 is a listing prepared by the Department of Revenue itemizing the exemptions in Nebraska and the foregone revenue from each exemption. Excluding purchases for resale, the total amount of foregone tax revenue is more than $1.8 billion. This compares to sales taxes actually collected, which is approximately $1.7 billion. Some significant exemptions provided by Nebraska are: animal life whose products constitute food for human consumption, $360,645,000. Contractor labor, $216,528,000. Motor vehicle fuels, $194 million. Food for human consumption, $124,920,000. Sales and purchases of energy sources and fuel, if more than 50% of the amount is for irrigation and farming, $86,200,000. Prescription medicines, $59,405,000. Agricultural chemicals applied to land or crops, $34,483,000. Every exemption has been enacted by the Nebraska legislature for a reason and needs to be examined on its own merits. In the 1988 Syracuse study, the recommendation was made that business purchases of machinery and equipment should be exempted from the Nebraska sales tax, as was the case in neighboring states, especially farm equipment. As a result, the legislature exempted farm machinery in 1992. Sales tax on motor fuels. Nebraska's motor fuel tax is dedicated entirely to highways and roads. Unlike some other states, Nebraska does not also impose a state sales tax on motor fuels. The Syracuse study, however, recommended extending the sales tax to motor fuels, concluding, "This is a major mistake in policy and costs the state a very substantial amount of revenue. There is no possible justification for exempting consumer expenditures on gasoline from sales tax, since these purchases can appropriately make a contribution toward general governmental cost, as distinct from the basic user charge for highway construction and maintenance." At the time of the Syracuse study, in 1988, seven states levied a sales tax on fuels. in addition to the dedicated motor fuels tax. Those states were Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New York, California, Hawaii, and Georgia. Exhibit 5-6 is a chart prepared by the American Petroleum Institute, which details all the taxes imposed by each state on gasoline and diesel fuel. As shown in that chart, more states are now imposing sales or gross receipt taxes on motor fuel, including Alabama, Connecticut, Florida, New Jersey, Oregon, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and the District of Columbia. Exhibit 5-6 further shows that Nebraska's dedicated motor fuel tax of 27.0 cents per gallon is well above the national average of 18.2 cents per gallon. On the other hand, Nebraska's other taxes on motor fuel, totaling less than 1 cent per gallon, are well below the 50-state average of 10.2 cents per gallon. Exhibit 5-7 is a chart prepared by the state of Washington which compares each state's total taxes on motor fuel for 2005. The chart demonstrates how much the states differ in their levies of tax on motor fuels. In this comparison, Nebraska ranks 17th highest in total taxes. All of the states with higher total taxes on motor fuel, except Montana, are states which also impose a sales tax. There are also arguments against levying sales taxes on motor fuels. First, gasoline and diesel fuel prices are already at record highs and are a hardship to Nebraska consumers, especially in rural areas where driving distances are considerable. Second, an increase in the amount of tax on motor fuels could result in loss of sales to states bordering Nebraska. According to Exhibit 5-7, Nebraska's current rate of 27.9 cents per gallon compares to Kansas at 25.0 cents, Iowa at 20.7 cents, Colorado at 22.0 cents, and South Dakota at 21.7 cents. Nebraska is already higher than its neighbors. Finally, there is an argument that the state shouldn't impose a sales tax on motor fuel because it is already subject to separate excise tax. But the rule of applying sales tax to commodities also subject to excise taxes is already followed in Nebraska in the case of cigarettes and liquor. Taxation of services. When the first sales tax were introduced in the 1930s, they were applied, with the exception of two states, only to sales of tangible personal property, with all services exempt from the tax. It appears that there was no underlying rationale for the sharp distinction between physical commodities and services other than simplicity. Only two states, Hawaii and New Mexico, departed from this pattern and began taxing all, or substantially all, of services rendered to consumers. In 1979, South Dakota broadened the base of its tax to cover all services except medical services. In the last 20 years, many states have begun taxing certain services, but none have gone so far as Hawaii, New Mexico, and South Dakota. In 2005, the Federation of Tax Administrators published a report which examined how states tax 168 different services. A summary of the services taxed in each state is shown in Exhibit 5-8. Some states continue to tax very few services, but many states now tax a significant number. Nebraska taxed 76 of the 168 enumerated services. Exhibit 5-9 shows in detail which services are taxable in Nebraska and which are not subject to tax. There are a number of reasons which have led states to increase the taxation of services. When sales and use tax were first adopted, the exemption of services was administratively convenient and did not result in a large revenue loss. Yet, the exclusion of services in today's economy results in considerable foregone revenue. Between 1979 and 1997, services have risen from 47% to 58% of personal consumption, while the consumption of tangible goods fell by a similar percentage. These percentages continue to increase every year as consumer services, information, technology, and intellectual property constitute an ever-increasing share of the economy. While many states, including Nebraska, have increased the tax base to include more services, the services that would generate the most revenue, legal, accounting, healthcare, and construction remain largely untaxed. Advocates of increasing the sales tax on services contend that by exempting services, the tax system discriminates against taxable goods, and therefore, taxpayers who consume goods bear a greater tax than those who consume services. Taxing services, moreover, would make the tax system less regressive, since wealthier consumers spend a greater percentage of their income on services. Second, taxing services could significantly broaden the tax base, resulting in a lower overall sales tax rate. South Dakota is able to generate a significant amount of revenue with a moderate tax rate because its tax base is relatively broad. Broadening the tax base would also contribute to the stability of tax revenues. One of the virtues of the sales tax is that it is a comparatively stable source of revenue, unlike the personal income tax, which rises and falls much more dramatically. Yet, the stability of the sales tax is dependent on a broad base. The more exemptions provided, the less stable the base. The arguments against taxing services also merit consideration. First, there is great difficulty in distinguishing between services provided to individual consumers and those supplied to business firms. The underlying rationale for sales taxes to distribute the tax burden among taxpayers in relation to consumer spending through the taxation of sales to the ultimate household consumers. This is why sales for resale are not taxed, nor are inputs into manufacturing. Business inputs should not be taxed under a consumption tax, because the sales tax itself becomes an embedded cost to consumers. The result is a tax on a tax. Taxation of services also results in increasing administrative and compliance costs, as many services do not leave a record of production and inventory. Moreover, interstate transactions have been a very difficult issue for those states that do tax services. For instance, in 1987, Florida took the position that when a taxable service was rendered outside Florida but benefited persons residing within the state, the service was subject to the Florida tax. This created a political firestorm that resulted in Florida scaling back considerably its taxation of services. Taking many of those factors into account, the Syracuse study came to the following conclusion: there is merit, then, in extending the sales tax to a selected group of services, in general, services rendered primarily to households and not to business firms, and excluding professional, medical, education, and public transportation services. Business firms will still bear some of the burden of the tax, but there is no way that all such tax can be removed unless all purchases for business use are exempted from tax by some new technique, and this is unlikely in the immediate future. 1. Continued taxation of electricity, gas, water, and local telephone service, admissions, rental of tangible personal property, transient accommodations, hotel, motel services. 2. All activity relating to tangible personal property, all repairs, cleaning, including dry cleaning, laundry, painting, rebuilding, all work on motor vehicles, parking, storage, except of business inventories and farm products. The only exception to the repair charge would relate to industrial and farm machinery, if the purchases of these goods are freed of tax, and to railway rolling stock and track. 3. Repair and maintenance of real property, including carpentry, roofing, plumbing, electrical, cleaning, painting, interior decoration, pest control, security systems, lawn, garden, and related care, including landscaping contracts, welding, water softening, excavation, house moving, and the like. Real property construction, including extensions to present structures, would be taxed on a revised basis, as noted above. All installation of fixtures in real property would be taxed. 4. Personal services of all types rendered by commercial establishments, including barber and beauty parlor service, massage, tanning, reducing salons, escort services, various types of commercial schools such as dancing, driving, flying schools, golf and other athletic instruction, pet grooming, training, and boarding, non-farm animal veterinary service, detective services, telephone answering, funeral services, employment services, bank charges to customers, not interest. 5. Charges for all commercial recreation, in addition to those already taxed, golf course membership fees and charges, membership in other recreational groups, charges for cable TV, and charges for bowling alleys and pool halls, dance halls, carnivals, musical devices, shooting galleries, plus usual admission charges to movie theaters, public events, etc., and all photographic work. Severance production taxes. In addition to the sales tax and the motor fuel tax, the other excise tax that is often employed by states is the severance or production tax. A severance tax is an excise tax that is imposed upon the severance or production of a state's natural resources. Most states which have oil, gas, or coal production, for example, impose a severance tax on those resources as they are severed from the ground. For some states, such as Alaska, Wyoming, Texas, and Louisiana, the severance tax is a major source of revenue. Ordinarily, severance taxes are imposed on non-renewable resources. However, several states also impose severance taxes on certain renewable products. Timber is subject to severance tax in many states, including Arkansas, Mississippi, Missouri, Oregon, South Dakota, and West Virginia. Arkansas imposes a severance tax on corn, rice, wheat, soybeans, and catfish production. Nebraska imposes a 3% severance tax on oil and gas produced in the state with a 2% rate for strip or well production. Yet, because Nebraska does not have significant oil and gas production, the tax is not a major source of revenue. State severance taxes are favored by many states, as the burden of the tax is often exported to out-of-state buyers and users of the exported material resource. Just as much of the oil, gas, coal, and timber produced in other states are ultimately consumed outside the state of origin, most of Nebraska's agricultural and animal production is exported across state lines. However, Nebraska has chosen not to impose a severance tax on these exports. The last decade has seen the emergence of an important new industry for Nebraska and its neighboring states, the manufacture of ethanol produced from agricultural products as a gasoline additive. New ethanol plants have been built in the income-producing states along existing railroad lines. Most of the ethanol produced in Nebraska is shipped to the West Coast by rail car. Because Nebraska is closer to the West Coast market than other ethanol-producing states, ethanol shipped from Nebraska bears less transportation cost. No tax is imposed by Nebraska on these ethanol exports. The Department of Revenue estimates that a 3% excise tax on ethanol produced in Nebraska would generate $60 million in tax revenues. Commission recommendations. The Commission's recommendations regarding Nebraska's sales tax are based upon the following key conclusions. 1. The Nebraska combined state and local sales tax rate of 7% is relatively high, but comparable to neighboring states. 2. The legislature has exempted many different transactions involving sales of tangible personal property over the years, and today, more than 50% of all possible sales are exempted. However, this level of exemption is typical of most states. 3. The national and Nebraska economies are increasingly impacted by sales of intangible and intellectual property and services rather than tangible personal property. Services in Nebraska are not subject to sales tax unless specifically taxed by statute. 4. While sales taxes are regressive in nature, and certain exemptions reduce this regressivity, broadening the tax base may actually reduce regressivity, as the goods and services not ordinarily used by the low-income consumers become subject to tax. 5. Because such a large segment of Nebraska's population lives in close proximity to neighboring states, the cross-border effects of any proposed sales tax change must be considered carefully. 6. The amount of revenue which could be generated through the elimination of exemptions and the taxation of services is potentially substantial. it would be possible to generate as much as $750 million additional revenue from sales taxes by eliminating all sales tax exemptions except medicine, sales for resale, and sales which become component parts of manufacture or agricultural production. Nebraska could then return to a tax credit mechanism for food purchases by those at low income levels. The Commission recognizes that every exemption from the sales tax granted by previous legislatures has been enacted for a reason, and in the case of almost every exemption, an argument can be made for its retention. Nonetheless, the Syracuse study listed a broad group of services which could be taxed and exemptions which could be eliminated, and most of them continue today. Moreover, Nebraska's economy has become increasingly service-oriented since that study. Consequently, the Commission recommends that the legislature re-examine every exemption and service in light of the contemporary Nebraska economy, competition from other states, and the current level of tax burden on Nebraska taxpayers. In an ideal world, every tax exemption would sunset and would not renew unless specifically reauthorized by the legislature, and all services would be presumed to be taxable unless specifically exempted by the legislature. While this scenario may not be possible, the Commission recommends that the legislature re-examine all sales tax exemptions on sales of personal property and consider the merits of expanding the taxation of services. In particular, the legislature should consider taxing the services identified in the Syracuse study. As part of that effort, the Commission recommends that all exemptions from sales tax be made part of the annual appropriation process. The foregone revenue from tax exemptions should be shown side by side with all other appropriations so that legislators can better comprehend the magnitude of the exemptions compared to spending needs. Severance production taxes. The Commission recommends that the legislature consider imposing an excise tax on ethanol produced in the state. The production of ethanol consumes a significant amount of Nebraska's agricultural and water resources. An excise tax on ethanol would be equivalent to the severance tax that other states impose upon their removal of natural resources. The legislature should periodically monitor any changes in the markets for Nebraska ethanol to ensure that Nebraska ethanol remains competitive. The Commission recommends that the Nebraska individual income tax return form be modified to provide a line where taxpayers are required to report any use tax owed on out-of-state purchases.